This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's live. It's Thursday. It's the Burning Platform and a bunch of other things that you want. Joined in studio this morning by Pumelele Mashiro.
Good morning.
Good morning, Pums. Siya Sangweni. Gugu's there. Hey, Gugu.
Hey.
What's happening, man?
Good, how are you?
I'm excellent.
I see you got the hair out this morning.
What do you mean?
It's all perfect and, the sparks
really?
Are going well.
Oh, really?
The
coif.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
No, I actually looked in the mirror this morning and said it's time for a haircut. I don't know, you know, I found a picture of myself from like a little while ago and I thought my hair looked better then. And I think I must grow it a bit because it was too short.
I think you need to grow a beard for a change.
Yeah, well, we figured that out yesterday when we did the age app. The face app aging thing. And we discovered that the more of my hideous face I hide, the better. So, beard, here we come.
Sounds about right.
All right.
Okay. I've never even seen you with stubble.
No,
do you
hate
have
it.
Like a connecting beard? Is it like, will your beard be?
I've gone like three quarters of the way to actually looking like I have a beard. But you know, it's first of all, it's not very dark hair, so it doesn't show as obviously. And then, it does take me a long time, but it irritates the hell out of me. I don't like the feeling of it. I don't like the feeling of any facial hair at all. It's not my favorite thing. Don't like. Not for me.
You've looked the same for the last 20 years. Do you realize that?
Well,
you and Farrell.
I wasn't going to tell you, but I'm immortal. This is what I've been hiding from you for the longest time. It's weird. I did one of those, and this is actually something we haven't really discussed on the show, but do you remember we had a guy in here who spoke about that DNA analysis that they do? We had a doctor in, and he was terrific. The company's actually called DNA Analysis. The A is once, you know, so it's DNA Analysis. And they're actually here in Illovo in Johannesburg. You go in, you do a little swab inside your mouth, and then they test the DNA in your cells, right? They get the DNA from your mouth cells. And then those are obviously the same as the DNA in every other part of your body. And then they do a proper analysis and they break it down into all these tests. They've got a mind one, a physical body one, an exercise or sports one, a health one in terms of your overall propensity for certain diseases and things.
Oh.
And then your diet. It's fascinating because if you think about it, I've always maintained, you're exactly half of your genes and you're exactly half of your experiences and responsibilities and nurture and the way that you were raised and all that stuff, right? So the fascinating part of this is that they figure out what your diet should be adapted to, what your recovery rate is when you do exercise. There are some things that are very obvious you could pull out of genes. And they've got these markers on your genes and on everybody's. And they go to those particular genes on everyone, and they figure out what you need to be aware of. Like, for example, if there's a likelihood of Parkinson's, it's really easy to pick up in your DNA.
Mm.
And you can do something about that. You can start to do things that will mitigate things like that. Turns out I've got a kind of propensity for
OCD.
Well, that's I didn't need a DNA test to figure that out. Holy shit. I'll tell you a story about that in a minute. But I've got there's a likelihood that inflammation is my biggest enemy.
Ah.
You know, inflammation when you bump yourself, for example, you get a bruise because what that is that there's a huge amount of blood flow there and the area becomes inflamed and the temperature goes up and it tries to prevent disease and all that kind of thing. Now that's fine because that's a response to something that's happened to you. But I tend to get unnecessary inflammation, which is something everybody has to be aware of. But in my case, I've got to look after that by eating the right thing. And I mean, this woman got on the phone to me. She was on the phone for, this is now when the results had come through, which is only a couple of weeks. They send them to Norway or somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Oh, it's really, really
interesting. The
process
is very official.
But it's so interesting because you're actually looking inside your own cells and inside your own chromosomes.
So I don't trust those kinds of things. Do you remember how a couple of years ago, when the mapping, when the DNA sequencing, which is when all of this kind of stuff.
They've only really started getting this right now on any large scale very recently.
Then there was, do you remember Theranos? Elizabeth Holmes?
No.
And there was a huge, and she did a huge capital raise, Silicon Valley, and along with all the hype around the DNA testing, and they were creating this like DNA test that you could do with your epithelial cells in your mouth.
Yeah, right. She's the lady who got like tons of investment.
Yeah, like, and then ended up being could do DNA mapping and do all of this kind of stuff.
Right.
Quick and easy was their whole thing. Quick and easy, and you could walk into a pharmacy. There's a podcast about it.
Right.
There's like lots of documentaries about her. Turns out the thing didn't work.
Yeah.
Turns out that all of that stuff, it was all just a big con that they had created and that she had created, and then got all these people working for her, got all this money donated to her company.
I don't know anything about this. I feel like an idiot.
What? Theranos? No. It was huge. And then, cause there was, it was one of the very first ones that were like a huge commercially viable DNA testing for everybody.
I just remember she got tons of money.
Theranos was a privately held health technology corporation, as Pumi's saying, initially touted as a breakthrough technology company, but subsequently infamous for false claims to have devised blood tests that only needed very small amounts of blood. Okay. This is blood. We're not talking DNA though. I mean, I'll read some more about this, but
To the podcast.
And remember, they're always making strides in this area. And there are certain genes that we know are responsible for certain things. I mean, this has become far clearer now because they've done a lot more mapping of a lot more people's genomes. And look, whether or not it's all 100% accurate, I don't know. A lot of the stuff that they tell you in the tests that I did is much more general. They don't say to you, you're going to get cancer at age 57, you know. They don't tell you stuff like that. And they don't say to you, you better not eat cucumber because that's going to be the thing that'll kill you. They can't do that. No one can do that for you. There's no miracle. This is not Star Trek where they come and scan you and then suddenly you can figure out exactly what's wrong.
Like even at the Origin Center adverts.
Yes.
They also do some kind of genealogy mapping based on where you're from.
Now that's become
that kind of
very
stuff.
Accurate, huh?
But all of that stuff, it's so fascinating for me that at the beginning of it all, it's all this super, super, super hype, and there's no way of back-checking it.
Oh,
you know, it's like going to a psychic.
But that's true for all of technology and science.
Yeah.
Because we heard from people years ago, I got all excited, more than 12 years ago, when they said they've got this skycopter they've been working on, which will...
You really love this idea.
You'll get into it and you'll be able to fly over the traffic, but then you can land on the other side and it's a car. And I was like, oh, if I spend my whole life saving up for one thing, that's it. And then obviously it took way longer.
Yeah.
They still don't have one on the production line. You still can't go to the shop and buy one. And this is because people get excited about the leading edge.
Dude, all I ever wanted was that hoverboard from Back to the Future.
I got one of those. Didn't I tell you about this?
No.
We spoke about it on Tuesday, I think.
At the French Bastille Day celebrations. You must go and look it up on YouTube. President Macron is in the crowd, and there's this dude and the French army, and they've got this hoverboard.
That's all I want.
But it goes
higher.
And
flew over the crowd.
Yeah, it's more like one
of those. No, what? It goes all the way over the crowd?
It goes right up.
That's a very brave crowd.
It's a scary
I'd
thing.
Be clapping for him. Great invasion, but thinking, please don't fall on me. Don't fall. Don't go up in smokes. That's going to be awkward. But as you were talking about the propensity of, you know, like swelling up or whatever, that's what you find out. I actually know someone who went for one of these tests as well and says it has changed how she exercises completely because it's just about, you know, nothing, there's no cookie cutter mold for every single person because our bodies are all different and our fitness regimes have to differ because our bodies are different. And so now she's changed the way she eats. She's changed what she does at gym. I'm thinking
thinner?
Well, not yet.
But this stuff is
not yet.
Like you
but
do,
once you're empowered
yeah,
in that way.
Yeah.
Some people are better with cardio. Some people are better with weights and that kind of thing. And sometimes
some people are better on the couch.
I mean, like, for example, your genes. There's really nothing you could do about them. If you think that you are going to practice and practice and practice and you'll be as good as Usain Bolt one day at running, you've got no chance in hell. Like, his genes are just superior to yours for running.
And let's accept that.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. And there's some things that you've got to learn, and then you can get on with your life. Like, I'm never going to be the world's greatest footballer. I don't have the genes. No amount of practice will ever get me there. None.
Gareth,
forget about it.
Do you only focus on legs at the gym? Just a question.
What do you mean?
Like, do you only just do legs when you hit the gym?
Oh, right. No. He's saying this because, yeah, I've got the most fantastic legs.
Is that it?
Yeah, well, that's genes, because I don't do anything with legs at the gym. And I know guys who train all the time, and they hate it because it never goes anywhere for them.
He walks around like a stallion in this place. He's just prancing around. I'm just like...
Look at you. Okay. I think he's in love.
No, thanks, guys.
Oh, okay.
Gugu, this is an HR violation now.
Right. Okay, Gugu.
Calm yourself down.
Talking about extreme sports, I had such a giggle on my way to the studio this morning from home. It's clearly in the area here. It's clearly a rubbish day or whatever the case is, because there were a lot of those guys on the trolleys this morning. I counted about like 8 on my way here, and it's only like a 15-minute drive.
Hardcore, hey?
And that is what I marveled at today.
Basically on shopping trolley wheels on a piece of board, and they come down these roads.
Count Grayston.
Speed, man.
So there's a hilly road that I come down, and at a point, this guy in the trolley was faster than me.
Yeah.
And more than that, it's like the movie Cool Runnings and Bob Slay.
Yeah.
He knows how to tip his body over to the left.
Forget your hoverboards, Pumi.
No,
we've got
this
something
is it.
Better. These,
guys, you know,
this is it.
These rubbish dudes.
You know, I live in the hilly part, the only hilly part of Joburg, right? So when I drive to work in the mornings, and also because it's so dark right now, you just come around a bend, and there's this guy on this thing, and it's dark, and the thing's got no like reflectors, nothing.
Yes.
It is a very extreme sport.
It is.
Sia.
It should be signed up to the Olympics.
It's very scary.
I would support that.
These vehicles, Gugu, you're a car and a bike fanatic, but these things are not balanced. Sometimes the wheels are in different positions.
They're not aligned.
If you tip slightly to the left, you are finished. Mm. And if you're going at speed, you'll come a cropper really badly and end up covered in glass and rubbish and all kinds of things.
So this is probably the guy who I saw speed down the hill. It was probably the third guy on a trolley that I saw. Now, I was actually consciously slowing down because I'm like, okay, fourth one, what do you have next? Let's see. But I think it's quite admirable, actually, how they're moving around so quickly.
It's hectic. It's hectic, and it's dangerous. Like, also on Bayer's Lodia, when that road opens up and there's just like 3 lanes, because in the suburb there's like 1 lane in each direction, so the roads are quite narrow, right? Damn, when you get onto that Bayer's Lodia and it's like 3 lanes, it's the taxis on the one side, it's the guy on his trolley on the other side, that thing is going downhill.
It's like a computer game. It's one of those like Grand Theft Auto. You have to try and make it through Joburg.
You got to love Johannesburg.
Wow.
You know how much you got to love Johannesburg? Do you know there was a baboon in my hood last night?
Excuse me?
You're joking. A baboon?
Do you live in the Congo?
What? Tell us what's going on.
It's in Northcliff, guys.
Really, on the hill?
So, you know, like the community WhatsApp.
Yeah.
Which I mute when I'm at work.
Those things are horrible.
Because it can be a thing, you know. There's lots of issues on all of that.
I hate those
And with
things.
enough kind of stay-at-home people.
Yeah.
Also, there's a lot of old people in my hood, so there's lots of chatter.
Yes.
It's all they do. This is where they get their information, their friends. This is where they tell you stories that you don't want to hear.
Jeez. So around 10 a.m. yesterday, we get ding, ding. And I'm just, I'm looking at the WhatsApp group because you have to check it every now and again. So as much as it irritates you, you have to check it every now and again. Comes an email. A baboon has been spotted on one of the residents' roofs on Milner Avenue.
No.
Our reaction officers are looking around to see if they can spot the baboon. So I think, it's not a baboon. We live like this is Northcliffe, guys. Ain't a baboon.
Like monkey, yes, I get that.
Yeah, so I thought maybe it's a monkey.
Like a little baboon vervet monkey. Yes.
And nah, sounds maybe somebody's monkey got out. It's like, no. Somebody else. Baboon. Somebody else says, yes, I've spotted it. I'm just like, nah, this is crazy. And then people started sending pictures.
And it was a baboon?
I am going to show you the picture. It's a real thing. And wow. Last night, so actually last night, News 24 ran a story. Dangerous baboon on the loose in Northcliffe.
Well, how do they know it's dangerous?
People should stay indoors.
What if it's a friendly baboon? I mean, how could they say that?
Baboons, well, first of all, baboons are, you know, baboons don't eat, like, they don't eat, like, small dogs. No. They definitely don't eat people. Uh-uh. So, like...
No, but they can be vicious, and they do carry disease, and they've got those long canine teeth.
And if you... But, you know, you've got to corner it or something. Yeah. It's not just gonna... It's not gonna attack you.
Is that a hippo or a baboon?
It's baboons.
It's a baboon. So then somebody sends another WhatsApp. It's the third baboon in 5 years. And yes, it's normal for our area. Apparently, the baboons travel from the cradle down the ridge or kopi looking for a new mate or wanting to join a new troop. It's like...
Well, can I see this picture now? Now I'm intrigued.
I'm going to show you the picture. Bam.
There's a baboon.
And it's sitting, like there, the mating call, yeah.
Sitting there like a, near a factory, and it's just chilling.
Do you know, you have to love journalism these days.
So satellite dish, baboon on the roof.
On another website that I've just stumbled across now, this is the opening line. As a much anticipated release of the live-action remake of The Lion King draws nearer, a real-life Rafiki may be searching for Pride Rock of its own. The baboon has been spotted running from roof to roof at Northcliffe Corner.
Now, listen, let me tell you something. This journalist must be taken up there and fed to the baboon. Who wrote that? Find the journalist's name. We need to know who this is.
It's from ENCA.
Oh, God, how embarrassing.
And they had a journalist roam around the streets.
Really? I mean, come on.
It was quite exciting last night.
I don't want to be the journalist who's sent to cover the baboon in Northcliffe.
But the News 24 story actually has, like, drone shots of the baboon.
Wow.
Wow, so they're flying a drone around it. Imagine this poor baboon. It's like, I just want to get a mate. I'm just trying to join another old... I'm older, a bit kicked out of my troop. I'm looking for another troop. Just someone give me a break.
Can you just leave me alone?
Yeah. I thought Northcliffe, you'd be a little more civilized, but you people are horrible.
Come on. And it really wasn't a slow news day. So to have put so much effort into one measly baboon.
Listen, it wasn't a slow news day on the WhatsApp group.
Your drone shots of baboons.
These WhatsApp groups, though, some people just do not know what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate for these groups. Have you noticed how people will start talking about their own personal problems on these groups, and suddenly you need to know about how the woman down at number 13 has had problems peeing, and you know she's sometimes she gets really cold in her bed at night, and she's telling you all of this personal information. She just doesn't know that it's not appropriate for the group.
Dude, the school had to send out in the newsletter the rules of the class WhatsApp groups.
Are you kidding? Because parents are putting bullshit on there?
Because can you imagine what happens on the WhatsApp groups?
Tell me, please.
That are run by the class mother.
I'm kind of curious.
No.
I know. I want to know. I'm never going to be a part of any of these groups. Thank God. But let me in on what happens there.
Well.
Wow. The drama of it all.
The drama of it all. If the weather changes... And it's like swimming day.
Uh-huh.
Oh, Lord. The moms.
For my child to be okay.
Yeah, because like, whew, you know, the weather's changed and it's swimming day today. Do you think they're going to cancel swimming? I'm just like, doesn't matter, guys. They're at
helicopter
school.
Helicopter parents.
They're at school. Leave them alone. Like.
Teacher knows what to do.
Yeah. Actually, if they need you, they will come to you.
Mm.
My child has lost one sock.
Oh,
it's
you're
labeled.
Kidding. No.
Please, can you send it out? It's like, what?
What?
Leave me alone.
But what is wrong with people?
Oh, Lord.
I get that.
Can anybody please send me a picture of today's homework? James has forgotten his book at school. Like, so James doesn't do his homework today, guy. Okay? He's just...
Yeah, and he must get into trouble.
Exactly, he must take the consequence. He must go back to school and the teacher must be like, dude, tomorrow he will not be forget. Mm. Send me the picture. And then...
These parents are doing the kids no favors, huh?
They're certainly doing us, the rest of the parents who actually have, like, lives, no favors.
Yeah.
That's not how it functions in our household because my father... I think in his mind, he likes to think he's the president of the country.
Oh, he is definitely the president
You've
of your family.
You've got a bit
family.
Of that in you, don't you worry.
He is the president of your family.
He sends us weekly updates.
Yeah, bro.
Like a newsletter.
Yes. Yeah, bro.
Personalized to each of us. And it's just like a recap on what was.
Does he say
in the life?
Is yeah. it in the family group?
No. Individually. Oh, but you can tell that he's drafted this and spent some time.
Dear Siyabonga.
So yesterday's one was just a good morning.
Dear Siyabonga.
Not me. And
today,
I'm telling you,
I went to the shops.
You can tell it's
and
quite
I bought margarine.
It's quite a bit of a scroll happening
day
there.
The day before no. was oh, very, no, very temperate. I was happy to have gone for a walk. Your mother is, by the way, a little ill today. So send her a message to say you love her. Siyabonga,
exactly.
It is very important that you are someone who can be accountable for your actions. This is my lesson to you for the day.
Oh,
is it that kind of thing?
I just got... And his language is also very...
flowery, like yours.
Very yes. flowery.
Yeah, you get it from him. You know you're going to turn into him.
No, I don't want to, though.
Listen here, Daddy Sangweni is a hero.
So my mom is just having some backache, and so she's been going to her doctor. It is not the end of the world, but this is just part of his address that he sent yesterday. Just to let you know that your mom is not well, much as that she's not back at work after last weekend. Took her to the hospital on Monday. Had to see orthopedics. I'm like, okay, can we hurry this along? What's going on here? We couldn't sleep last night. She's having a throbbing headache. I had to call my sisters like, yo, can you call your father and calm him down?
Just think about it. This is a world, especially for these old people, right?
Yeah, boy.
They... love it. They can sit there in their bed or in their armchair or whatever, and they can broadcast to the whole family. They can send everybody a broadcast message.
Mm.
So it's the best thing for them.
Has your dad learned about voice notes?
I hope he doesn't, because my mother's now into video calling.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And she loves that.
Oh, no.
And I don't want that day to come around. Just must not happen.
Because the worst is... like when the WhatsApp, there's messages, which kind of you can scroll through and kind of...
You can ignore also. Mm.
The worst is when somebody sends a voice note.
Because you have to listen to it.
Because like,
And the worst of those is where they're more than 2 minutes long. Have you seen those?
Yeah, I
people just
have to skip through.
All this crap. And you think, you know what? I never take your calls for this reason.
I'll get the gist of it somewhere.
Yeah, you just speed through that WhatsApp voice note. Let me tell you, you don't need to hear all that shit.
It's 2019, guys.
I've got a very close family friend. He's like my other dad, really. And he's been diagnosed with cancer and he's been in hospital. And there's this group where we all kind of get updates from his kids and his wife. And it's really helpful because it makes everybody, there's like 50 of us on this group. It gives us all one place to get all the info so that they don't have to phone everybody individually, right? It makes a lot of sense. But invariably, some people in the group start posting a lot of stuff on there that's just not related to him. And the purpose of this group is him. And you see how, like, some people in the family step in and they say, none of that, please. Let's keep this about.
Oh, are they, like, proper admin like that?
Oh, yeah. And I always think... there is this brilliant function which some people haven't discovered yet. Like you were saying, voice notes is something that a few people are only getting to grips with now. But there's a brilliant function where you can broadcast to a group, but you don't allow the group to reply. And sometimes that's also a really good function. Like, for example, if you've got a wedding and you've got a group with all your wedding guests on and you're busy telling them about the arrangements and all the rest of it, You can create this group, but then you don't have people get, thanks, Tracy. I'm so excited for your big day. Mm. And you're like, who is this person? Their number isn't on your phone. There are 200 of you on this group, and suddenly you have to hear about this woman being pleased with Tracy and her big day. Please.
Thumbs up.
Yeah. So sometimes it's better to use that function. Figure that one out.
I admire the family, but it's a little awkward. Imagine you maybe sending that meme like, get well soon or something. And they're like, no, none of that.
Yeah. Keep that off.
Yeah. Somebody must.
But it is interesting. Like these groups are also a great way for people to connect and to, you know, it's like a conversation, except it's a conversation that doesn't interrupt your whole life. If you had to have 50 people in the room all wishing you well and all the rest of it, I think it's overwhelming.
Mm.
But if you go in a group and you can see the love and people are posting pictures and that kind of thing, that's nice. Mm. I think that makes people feel better. And I think it helps people to kind of get over the difficulty that they're going through.
Yeah.
So you know what, Sia, don't be too hard on your dad.
I'll just get another one in 3 days' time and another and another and another. I just picture him all the time, though. Sitting, drafting this up in his study. What am I going to say?
Time for a family meeting.
Yeah. It could be worse. It could be a family meeting.
If you have a small business, I do, Pumi does, and there are a few other people who do as well, and you don't want to spend a lot of money on marketing, how do you build your brand in an impactful way? Well, in the latest episode of the Healthy Business Show, you can join Fred Rhode when he speaks to market research maestro and experienced entrepreneur Musa Kalenga, who started his first business at the age of 19.
Wow.
Hear what inspired Musa as he talks about building a business and a personal brand. Get the podcasts of the Healthy Business Show now on cliffcentral.com or wherever you listen. It's brought to you by Discovery Business Insure. I have to say there's such a hunger for this business stuff in podcasting at the moment. Podcast listeners overwhelmingly are people who are entrepreneurial. They run their own businesses. They love technology, overwhelmingly. And there's such an appetite for this kind of content. Mm. This is a really great series. And if you haven't listened to any of our business series, start with this one because it's top class. Fred is just a great host. They've had amazing guests like Musa. And you'll hear some interesting stuff. In fact, it's being spread far and wide. What I love about podcasting, too, is that you can get on there and you can pass it on to your friends. You know, it's likely that in your circle there are some people who are also running their own business and trying to get ahead and trying to create employment and make a profit and all of these things. And sometimes you can benefit from the wisdom of someone else without having to go to a course or attend a university or get your MBA. Or sometimes you just need a pointer in the right direction.
Yeah. And everything that I've listened to in this series has been so practical as well.
Sure.
You can apply it instantly in your life.
Sure. So go ahead, take a listen and tell us what you think. That's the Healthy Business Show now on cliffcentral.com. Wherever you listen, it's brought to you by Discovery Business Insure. All right, time for the news. You want to know what's in the news headlines?
Apart from baboons taking over.
That's the big story this morning, clearly. A message in a bottle was found in Australia 50 years after it was written. I love stories like this. It just shows you that even if we come and go, no matter how much changes in the world, someone somewhere is going to find a message in a bottle one day. Someone put that in there, hoping one day someone will find this. An Australian boy who discovered a message in a bottle on a remote beach might have a new pen pal after the Englishman who dropped it from an Australia-bound ship 50 years ago was tracked down.
Oh, my goodness.
Jaya Elliott, age 9, may have to wait some time as the message now has a 63-year-old author who's once again at sea, this time on a cruise in the Baltic. He discovered the decades-old treasure in sand dunes on a South Australian beach on Tuesday. By the next day, the writer had been located. Didn't take long, huh?
What are the chances?
Yeah. Paul Gilmore was just 13 when, on the 17th of November 1969, he dropped the bottle into the Indian Ocean, hoping to reach a new friend. The letter, which gave the ship's location as 1,000 miles east of Fremantle, West Australia, asked its recipient to please reply. Although the kid initially thought the letter was a fake, he was quick to post a reply on Wednesday. He was so excited, his mother said. Gilmore's sister, Annie Crossland, told the ABC that her brother was currently cruising, but would be sure to contact the boy when he returns home.
That's nice. So cool.
Isn't that nice? Just a nice story. There's humanity in all of this,
that's
right?
That's amazing. What's so amazing about that is this bottle's been floating around the ocean for 50 years.
Yeah. I mean, it may have been buried 20 years ago in the sand and now it's suddenly come to the fore, but 50 years and it's still there. That's great.
Have you ever done anything like that? Have you ever put something into a time capsule?
Yeah, we did that at school. We did that at school.
Did I do?
Because it was like, you know, I went to a weird school, right? It was like...
What do you mean you went to a weird school?
A German school.
It's a weird school. It was like VE... Day or something.
Which
like
the Germans those... really surprised you guys celebrated that.
Dude, they're so conscious of all of those things. You know, when we here in South Africa talk about the... Gareth, you were there in Berlin. We talk about the never again and we talk about how the past, we must never forget the atrocities of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys, man, they're so committed to never forgetting about
it. That's true.
And keeping it alive so that you learn from it. We're so quick to kind of go, oh, it's in the past, let's forget about it and bury our heads in the sand. But those guys are so committed to it. I remember they'd be like, VE Day, what? I don't know what VE Day was. It was just like, you know, kid from the hood. It's like, VE Day. And then there was like time capsule stuff. I wonder if it's still there.
Did you bury it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what, on the school grounds?
Yeah, in the field, in the big field.
Huh.
In the big field near the back. It was a whole thing.
There what did you like, put into yours?
I don't remember.
Oh.
Newspapers. We did it at primary school too. I can't remember what the occasion was, but we put in a newspaper from that day and we all wrote a little note saying, well, I mean, you know, we've got one floating around in space at the moment. In fact, there are a few.
Who put it?
Whenever we send up a satellite, we usually have a little box of things or a USB now, I suppose it would be, or a microchip which stores some information that basically says we come from Earth, we come in peace, this is our story, tries to give a synopsis of humanity and Earth and the story of our planet and
Apollo 11.
And if someone discovers this, if some alien creature discovers this, hopefully they'll be able to tell from the way it's been written, and it's in numeric form, I think.
Yes, because maths is the language of the universe.
Then they'll be able to figure out what we're trying to say. And
they need to throw one into Area 51 right now.
Listen,
we have
that is my favorite story.
So the best thing I saw yesterday is one of my friends' Facebook update is, I don't know what's going on, but my whole feed today is Area 51 memes and old people.
Yes. That encapsulates social media for the past couple of days.
Dude,
if we had to tell people 100 years from now what we're obsessed with today and they saw it was Area 51 and old people.
Ridiculous.
They would laugh. They'd go, God, they're so primitive. Here's a less pleasant story, but we need to know about this stuff, right? The World Health Organization on Wednesday declared the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo a public health emergency of international concern, which is a rare designation only used for the gravest epidemics. It is time for the world to take notice, WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus said in a statement as he accepted the advice of his advisory board to invoke the emergency provision, which is only used by the UN Health Agency when it's absolutely dire. They've used it four times before. Those included the H1N1, which was swine flu, the pandemic of 2009, the spread of the polio virus in 2014, the Ebola epidemic that devastated parts of West Africa from 2014 to 2016.
Mm.
And remember the Zika virus. So the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Society said it welcomed this decision. Whew. Ebola. More than 1,600 people have died from Ebola since the 1st of August last year when the hemorrhagic virus erupted in the DRC's North Kivu and spread into the neighboring Ituri region. Isn't that terrible?
Jeez.
Not good. So there's something to keep an eye on and to stay away from. If you're traveling to DRC for any reason, maybe you want to reconsider. And then the city of Cape Town is calling two unions to refrain from a nationwide strike next week, which will impact rail commuters. If you are reliant on trains in the Western Cape, I have only sympathy for you and a feeling of like solidarity, because first of all, you have to put up with arson and people just constantly setting trains on fire, disrupting train schedules. For some people, this is the only way they get to work. And now, I don't know what the grievances of these people are who have perpetrated these arson attacks. But it is just so inconceivably selfish of you to make everybody else's life a misery. I mean, we've got old people, we've got people who've got two or three jobs, people who wake up at 3 a.m. to go and earn a pittance, and now they have to put up with their trains being delayed or derailed or just discontinued, frankly.
Even if it wasn't because it's their only mode of transport. It's simply just selfish for what it is.
Well, it's criminal too, and the city of Cape Town has to put people in jail for a long time when they catch them doing this stuff. Anyway, the unions are now jumping in and they're making it worse because they've said they're planning a nationwide protest on the 26th of July and that'll obviously include the Western Cape. FEDUSA's Rifta Ajam said that the protest was intended to force the presidency to declare the ailing rail service a national crisis. But there are ways to do this without having to make it more disruptive. We only have one tool in our toolbox, and that is strike?
Well, because it's been positively reinforced over the years.
Yeah, and this is the only thing the government react to, right?
It's been positively reinforced over the years.
Good point. I don't know that it's going to help anybody who's actually stuck in this situation, though.
We have to learn. So, as South Africans, we have to learn to get angry differently. We have to learn to get angry differently and better. We have to learn how to kind of vent our frustrations without getting so emotional and so criminal and so without burning stuff down. You know, we kind of...
Because that is also a legacy thing. You know, it was part of the way that we used to, in this country anyway, say that we were unhappy with the government when the old government was the problem because they just didn't listen at all. And they didn't care about black people, and black people in townships in particular would be violent because it was the only way to get their attention and to show the rest of the world, not just the government here, that there was something going on that was wrong. And unfortunately, it's now spilled over, and we've got this inheritance of this is the behavior that we need to get into in order to get things to change. It's horrible. While we're speaking of the president, because you mentioned him just a minute ago, he has announced a new initiative that will see local districts being at the forefront of service delivery. He made the announcement during his presidency budget vote speech in the National Assembly on Wednesday. He'll be engaging MPs about his department's budget on Wednesday. He said the 6th administration would be doing away with fragmented approaches to development. All of this sounds like hot air to me.
Really?
He said this new initiative meant the government would be looking at development, localize the procurement service. Okay, I'm sorry I even brought this story up. What a pile of steaming shit.
Do you remember Charlie Brown? The comic, Charlie Brown. And then there was a TV series.
Yeah.
But all the adults on Charlie Brown, first of all, you never saw them pass the knee.
Yes.
And all the adults, when they spoke, they were like, wah, wah, wah.
I know where this is going. What are you trying to say?
I'm just saying.
We don't need to.
It just
to
reminds
this.
Me of Charlie Brown.
Hey, El Chapo has been sentenced to life in prison.
El Chapo.
Yes, one of the world's most powerful, notorious criminals, El Chapo, was jailed for life on Wednesday. The mandatory sentence for a host of crimes spanning a quarter century. Guzman, that's his real name. Joaquin El Chapo Guzman.
Yeah, Joaquin doesn't sound all too threatening on the streets.
No, but trust me, El Chapo, you know. 62 years old, the former co-leader of Mexico's mighty Sinaloa drug cartel, was convicted in February in the U.S. courts for a variety of charges, including trafficking hundreds of tons of cocaine, heroin, methamphetamines, and marijuana. Now,
Gareth, you have not finished the favorite part of this entire thing. My favorite part of this entire thing, well, besides the 30 years.
Let me keep going.
Is the $12.6 billion U.S. dollars worth of
forfeiture. This is amazing. How much? Right? He tacked a symbolic 30 years onto the sentence and then ordered Guzman to pay $12.6 billion in forfeiture, an amount based on a conservative estimate of revenues from his cartel's drug sales in the U.S.
Conservative estimate.
Yeah. So far, guess how much they've brought in from him? How much they've recovered? How much?
I'm just like, what?
Not a single cent.
Welcome.
What is going on in this cocaine drug trade? $12.6 billion?
You know, there's an old Dutch law that if the majority of people are not following a law, you scrap it. It's an old Dutch law.
In what sense?
Do not tell that to South Africans.
No, but this makes sense because it's the will of the majority. So if in a country you have a law against marijuana, like we did for a long time here, and in some places we still do, right? Mm. And most people break it. And remember, the proliferation of weed, of dacha, of marijuana, is kind of, it's been going on, 50 years? In some places, it's way older than that. People have been smoking it. People have been growing it. The majority of people, I don't think, have a problem with it. Therefore, it should just be taken almost as a common law thing that most of the people don't have a problem with it. So it can't be illegal anymore. Now, I don't know that Portugal is the best country in the world to use as an example, but for 15 years, all drugs have been decriminalized. You can pretty much take and get whatever you want in Portugal. They're a little bit careful about how they dispense it, but you can go to the pharmacy if you want and you can buy cocaine and that kind of thing. You can get it from someone who is licensed. And if you want to take the stuff, there are ways to do it. They look after heroin addicts and that kind of thing. Their focus is on rehabilitating people who don't want to be addicts.
And no questions asked. You go up to the pharmacy, buy your...
There's no blame assigned, and you're not locked up if you're found in possession of these things. And wow. You know what's happened? It's not a catastrophe. It's not falling down. The society hasn't turned into a bunch of murderers and rapists and serial killers. They're all as chilled as ever. In fact, you could even argue, and many people have, criminality's gone down and drug use has gone down.
I read an article on Vice.com this week that said weed usage in the US within teens has gone down as well.
Well, especially in those places where it's now legal, like Colorado and Washington State and Oregon. I don't know. And listen, there's going to be an argument about this long after I'm dead and for another 12, 13 generations at least. Here's the deal. These drugs are going to be used by people. There are going to be people who take drugs. There are going to be people who trade in drugs. And be people who run the cartels that have drugs.
So, dude, I mean, El Chapo is Mexican, but, you know, the other very famous drug dealers from Colombia.
Mm-hmm. Colombia.
El Colombia.
Okay, Sofia Vergara.
And also because I suppose most of us saw the whole woo-ha around Narcos, right?
The series.
Right.
On Sunday, I read an article in Fortune magazine about how 70% of Colombia's economy is linked to the illegal export of cocaine.
Today?
Yebo. 70% of Colombia's economy. I just want you to think about that a second, right?
But I love the way that America... Okay, so America says drugs are bad, okay? But who are the people using the drugs?
Wow.
The Americans.
70%.
If there's such a desire for the cocaine from Colombia in America, and remember, cocaine is not cheap, and it's not being used by people in the underclass. Cocaine is a high-level drug for people in New York and L.A. and all those people that we watch on TV, right?
And Miami.
Right. And in Miami. These are nobody who's got a job where they're on minimum wage is buying cocaine. There's a desire for this stuff.
Yeah, they are buying the super, like, diluted smack.
Exactly. So if there's a demand, what do you have to do in capitalism? Create the supply. Now, how do you think you're going to fix that? I love the way they make a rule. They make some kind of law that the Colombians are bad for trying to send the cocaine that the Americans want to America.
But for me, when I read that story, I was so devastated at the concept that this country's almost its entire economy is based on this illicit drug trafficking. It is in nobody's interest,
certainly
not the president or any of the politicians, to stop this thing. It's not in their interest. What are they going to do? What are they going to do at 70%? How are they going to replace that 70% of their economy?
There's also no way you can deny it. You have to acknowledge it somehow.
Gareth, why are you saying 70%?
It's just crazy. I'll tell you what we can do.
This was in Forbes.
We might not be able to solve the problems of Colombia, but we can solve our own personal finance problems. We've been talking about savings month, right? Now, have you noticed that we're inundated? I saw three or four of them on the road yesterday. I even mentioned it on the show. In fact, it was the day before. Inundated with ads about unbeatable savings, red hot offers. Basically, they're trying to get us to spend money out of impulse or convenience. Okay. This is actually spending, which is the unseen, disguised as saving, which is the seen. Now, July is National Savings Month. Coronation, as you may know if you've been listening for the last couple of weeks, is encouraging you and I to think about how we're spending our money, possibly on things that we don't need or without even realizing that we're doing it. And it's time to take stock and see what needs to stay in and what needs to go and where these unnecessary expenses creep in. So we had a really interesting discussion yesterday with one of the guys from Coronation who helped us to figure out where we could save. You've got debit orders that you don't even realize are going off every month.
Mm.
And he said, you go in and you need to clean this up. It's like a leaking pot. And if you don't close those holes, you just don't realize how much money you're losing. I realized I had a debit order that was basically paying for something. It's like the homeowners association type thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a debit order, but I was also paying it every month from my account myself. So I was double paying.
Oh no.
Nobody's going to tell you about that.
Well, I went to the office, this is about 2 months ago, and they told me this. They said, you've got like, I had 40,000 rand in the plus. Now, I can't get that back from them, but what I can do is stop paying them double, right?
Yes.
So they can take it off the existing amount. But I wouldn't have realized, and I would have ended up wasting all this money. You've got to go and check on your bank what debit orders you have. These days, it's easy. You can go on internet banking.
But also checking your statement is something that a lot of people are not used to doing.
Yeah, right.
You know, a couple of months ago, there was the huge hoo-ha about those authorized debits on people's.
Yes.
So it's like 99 Rand, 89 Rand.
Right.
But a lot of people only realized that was being debited from their accounts because they've got kind of cell phone banking or notifications coming through. But because you're not looking at your statement every month,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people were paying that debit for a long time.
And your cell phone account is the same. They have those VAS services, you know, where you don't know.
Value-added services.
Correct. And you don't know whether you've subscribed to it or not. And then you get this message that says, if you'd like to opt out, type in stop. And some of them are scams. And they add themselves to your bill. And you're paying an extra $100 or whatever. It's just enough for you to not realize it's happening.
Yes. Mm.
And you go in there and you look and you go, wow, why is my account an extra $100 every month? Or I'm running out of minutes or I'm running out of data or there's something going on. It's because you're on one of those things. You need to cancel them.
The biggest wake-up call for me was this all doesn't take a lot of time and effort. It just takes us being a little more responsible when it comes to our finances. Because for the longest time, I also had those 99 Rand debit orders from some sort of scam. And all I had to do was go into my app every now and then, check over my transactions. As soon as I see something that I don't understand, all I have to do is reverse it. You know, it doesn't mean I have to go into a branch and it's a half day's work and it's all of this effort. I've also now looked at my different accounts and realized I'm sometimes being charged for some sort of transfer fee and admin fee and card services rendered. I'm like,
question and suddenly they go, sorry. And then they could have probably stopped that 7 months ago. But
so many of us.
You weren't conscientious about it. So.
But also, you know, there are also little things that you can do to save money. So, for instance, the difference between a statement emailed to you versus a statement posted to you.
Yes.
Right.
So they'll charge you 5 Rand to post a statement to you. It's never 5 Rand.
No, it's way more than that. No, it's way more. It's probably 50 Rand.
But it's free.
Yeah.
For it to be emailed.
Yes.
Or less for it to be emailed. Even better, you have an app. You really don't need them to do the administration of emailing it to you. Just discipline people.
Just go on there once a month and have a look. I mean, these are simple things. And yesterday we mentioned in our discussion with Coronation, free trials. You get emails about this great new deal, and if you go on and you join the subscription service, let's say you join it for music or for movies or whatever, you end up being on there and you don't ever cancel it, even though you've used it once.
Mm. I learned the hard way with that.
Oh, yeah?
Once downloaded this photo editing app, and it was bomb, like amazing. Oh, looked like a Victoria's Secret model after I was done with that app. 3 months later, I was like good with like 1.2 deducted from my account because this app was now like running for the past 3 months.
Ow.
Yeah, it was a humbling moment. Chose to love myself.
You need to do an audit on yourself and save some money. It's all in the places you least expect it. But if you're disciplined, as Pumi and Sia and I have just discussed, you can find it. Choose not to spend today and reap the benefits of delayed gratification by putting that money that you save into a savings or investment with a bank or an asset manager like Coronation. A good option is investing in a Coronation Unit Trust Fund, which is the simplest, most cost-effective way for you to invest with Coronation, giving you exposure to a basket of different financial assets like shares, bonds, even listed property. All you need to start investing with Coronation today is 500 Rand a month. So give them a call or visit coronation.com. And remember, as Pumi's saying, your statement's being sent to you for 20, 30 Rand. You add all of that up over a year, that's 500 odd bucks. You could invest that instead. You will be happy with the result. Take a listen to this and the other information that we'll be sharing with you during the course of Savings Month, which is the month of July. And hopefully by the end of it, you will have a grip on your finances.
For vision, touch, taste, sensory exploration of molecular gastronomy, visit Quantum Tastery.
With molecular portion sizes at astronomical prices.
12 experimental courses heightened by ultra-modern ambience.
More like 12 courses of crumbs, smears, and specks of food eaten in near silence.
It's easy to get tempted into unnecessary spending. That's why Coronation is encouraging South Africans to save instead this National Savings Month. To invest, talk to your financial advisor. Coronation. Trust is earned. Coronation is an authorized FSP.
All right. It is Mandela Day. And Pumi and I were just saying, we're so proud of ourselves for not having talked about Mandela Day. But that's such a cynical view. All right, Sia, said by Sia on Mandela Day, what's going on?
I'm going to give you 5 seconds to explain why you have this view.
No, it's just I'm tired of like people showing off how good they are on Mandela Day and doing nothing the rest of the year. And that is, I know that Selo Hatang, who's a friend of the show, and he's a guy who works really hard at the Nelson Mandela Foundation. He always says, make every day a Mandela Day, which I agree with. I think there's a lot of virtue signaling going out there. You're going to see a bunch of beauty queens painting a primary school in a township today. You're going to see
for that.
People planting a cactus and thinking they're Jesus.
All for that.
But let's just, for a minute, put our cynicism away, because there is going to be some good done. And I know that our friends at Headway, who, of course, I've been supporting for the longest time, they do a little thing for the people who are obviously the first responders to emergencies, especially on the roads where a lot of these brain injuries happen. They're going around to the Sandton Fire Station today, and they're going to make some food, and they're going to have some drinks, and they're going to help the fire services and the emergency service and the police and everybody else to enjoy their day for a change, which I think is really good.
Mm. This morning, can we just have an open mind for 30 seconds?
Sure.
It's not a story, but rather a message. It's 67 minutes of your time.
What do you
there doing? I will be going out with Headway today. We're going out to the Sandton Fire Station.
Good stuff.
But wherever you are and in whatever you're doing, it's only 67 minutes. And this is the reason why I love days like this. And I'll always be that corny person who does something for Youth Day and any other day of significance. Because for me, it forces everyone to pause and think about what has been done for a day like this. And you think about not only just Madiba, but many other people who've selflessly put themselves in the line of fire to help others. And now you start to go, okay, actually, let me not complain about 40,000 things happening, but rather, what can I do to also be selfless and to help someone else? And I think for 67 minutes, come on, that's like not all asking right, for
you,
a lot.
Thank you, Headmaster Sia. You've reprimanded us.
There we go. Just putting everyone back in line. Just do whatever you can.
I remember.
Man.
It's just wasn't it just 2 years ago, Pumi and
yes.
I, we were digging holes and fixing a school playground.
No, we made a sand pit.
Yes.
We made a sand pit in a crash. It was awesome.
That's it.
2 years ago.
Look at us. We're still riding on that
still,
one.
Yeah, I'm still basking in the glory of that.
But if you're going to do something today, good
yes.
for you. Get out there and get involved. 67
Happy Mandela
minutes.
Day, people.
Happy Mandela Day. All right. Coming up, Canthan Pillay and the Burning Platform. Oh, yes. So much to do on Twitter.
Glad I put you in line.
See ya? You have corrected our
what?
Course.
You're the top 16 Miss ways. South Africa will be in high heels somewhere, and they will be planting trees or painting. But even that is great. Go and make a difference.
You know what? You're right. Okay. Very good. All right, Sia. Thank you. Let's all just take a minute to think about what we're doing with our lives and to take stock and to be better people. Come on. It's not too much to do. It's not too much to ask, is it, Sia?
No, not at all.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, in the Burning Platform, we have so much to talk about. We're going to talk about Jacob at the State Capture Commission.
Ubaba.
The more he does that, the more he's lying. We're going to talk a little bit about Johnny Clegg, obviously, who died just yesterday or the day before yesterday. We all found out about it yesterday. And some other things that are probably of an international bent, so stick around for those. I'm absolutely sure we're going to find some terrific stuff for you. Canton's looking ready for the fight, but then he always does.
Yeah, ubo pipondo, gafi.
Yeah, come on. Come on. Grab a seat, make yourself comfortable.
Gafi ubo pipondo. Coming in here, bringing it. Like, roll up your sleeves.
All right. You know what? We'll get into this just in a second. That's the Burning Platform. It's brought to you by Nando's. Every single week on a Thursday, it's for many people the highlight of their week because they get to hear all the opinions and the fights between Pumi and Canthan on various issues. Come on, admit that's part of the reason you come in here, Pumi. You love it.
Gareth, I actually enjoy spending my Thursday mornings with you and Sia too. It's not all for Canthan.
No, you come here to fight with Canthan. Don't lie. All right, so we'll be joined by Canthan Pillay in just a moment. It's just after 7 o'clock. CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.